Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is coming to Talia Hall on August 19th. Stand-up comedian and television writer and producer Neil Brennan is fresh off an off-Broadway run of his new show, Three Mics. It's a show that has Brennan on stage with three mics, one for one-liners, one for stand-up, and one for emotional realness. Brennan is a tremendous talent. He's best known for co-creating Chappelle's Show with Dave Chappelle on Comedy Central, but also for his work in stand-up and writing jokes for the Oscars, for the White House Correspondents' Dinners, and other high-profile events. Brennan actually grew up in the Chicago area, spending a good portion of his childhood in the town of Wilmette. Neil Brennan, welcome to The Download.
Thank you for having me. You had me from tremendous talent. I was really zoning you out. Then I heard tremendous talent and high-profile events, and Neil, wake up and pay attention. It's go time.
You still have family in Chicago? I mean, when you come through to do a show, do you go back and visit the old homestead?
A lot of comps. there's no homestead left. It was in Wilmette, and Wilmette's too far away to visit. Because it's not like they're there.
Yeah, right.
They all moved downtown. So yeah, but I'll stay at my sister's house or one of my sister's houses.
You obviously, you spent some time here as a child, but most of your formal years in stand-up were done in New York City. Talk about getting involved in stand-up and what drew you to that art form as a teenager.
Well, my brother is a comedian. So when I was in high school, I used to go visit him in New York, and so I used to like watch him sort of become a comedian, and his peers, guys that he spent every night with, were like Dave Attell and Ray Romano and Jon Stewart and Louis C.K. And these are guys that like I've known since I was in high school. So then I moved up here to go to NYU Film School in New York, and ended up working at a comedy club, just working the door at the same time, and ended up dropping out because I just didn't like film school and I didn't like film students, more specifically, if I could directly crap on them. So then I started working the door at the club full time. By full time, I mean like 22 hours a week. And then just sort of started writing jokes for guys that were around, and like Chappelle was one of the guys. I guess I'm like a club rat.
That's
There's
good.
Such a thing as gym rats.
Yeah, right.
In basketball, I consider myself a club rat. Like, even when I'm not doing stand up, I like watching it. I like thinking about it. I just like it.
Well, I read that you got up on stage. It didn't go so well when you first started.
When I was 18. Yeah, I got up on stage when I was 18, then 23, then I did it when I was 23. Then me and Chappelle wrote Half Baked, and I was like, let me just be a writer.
Right.
And then slowly but surely it would gnaw at me. And then I started back up at 33, which is not the way you want to do it. You want to start in your early 20s. But thankfully my face has been cooperative and not a ton of wrinkles, so I can trick people.
You can trick
into
people.
Thinking I'm young and relevant.
Well, you've had success with stand-up.
Even though I'm 58. Not <I'm>
right. Yeah. You've had success with stand-up, but the show that you're doing now, Three Mics, it really is a mixture of obvious, stand-up, one performer on stage. But with the three mics, it really is something that is playing more to theater crowds. To what you did in New York was an off-Broadway show. Talk about that transition, the idea of this idea, three mics, and going from the comedy club to the theater stage.
It was, well, the thing with that, the impetus for it was do you know what impetus means? Anyhow, the impetus for it was, I'd done a Comedy Central hour. I'd done a half an hour and I'd done an hour. And I was like pretty kind of popular. And I was like, I got to do something else because there's so many specials now. Everyone has an hour. And so I just wanted to figure out a way to talk about other stuff or just be like different than everybody else. And I knew from doing podcasts, particularly Joe Rogan's podcast, I would do it, and when I talked about real stuff like depression or other stuff like that, like realer issues, people really responded to it, and I'd still be funny, but it's not like that sort of rapid fire joke every laugh every 8 seconds thing.
Right.
It's probably more like every 30. So it's when I say dramatic, it's not. I guess it's dramatic. It's just more like raw honesty. I guess it's stuff that you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't want people to know about you. That was sort of the, my impulse for like, what should I talk about? Stuff that like, so depression in a comedian is like, everyone knows, hey, comedians are generally depressed, and they sort of keep it like this thing of like, hey, tears of a clown, all that stuff. But like, I just wanted to talk about like, what is it actually like? And what's my experience with it been like? It's not even especially dour or depressing, that part of the show. It's just more like honest and like forthcoming. So that's more what I'm going for than dramatic. The last story is pretty dramatic.
Well, you, I mean, so you,
father,
you were
my father dying.
Yeah. I hate to cut you off on that. Sorry.
No. The way you just said, yeah, it was pretty great. I was like, my father dying. And you were like, yeah. It's pretty sad. Yeah, really. Don't bring it down. People are pulling over right now.
Well, there is something. I mean, let me ask you about.
Yeah, dude, people, fathers die, dude. Like, it's a real thing. Fathers die every day. Someone's got to talk about it.
For you to do the show, and I saw the original concept on Meltdown, which was great. And I remember at the time being like, this is really brilliant, the concept, because there is this moment where you get real in the middle mic or whichever mic it is. And you're still giggling. You're still laughing because of the concept of you switching microphones. So it's even as real as you're getting, the audience is still almost taking it as a comedy bit. How do you do that to avoid it just being a gimmick or avoid
in
it being...
Meltdown, it was so truncated that they definitely, like at first they thought it was a comedy bit. There have been shows where people didn't really know what they were getting themselves into. And when I started talking about depression, that's the first sort of more serious monologue. People were still going like, woo! I was like, all right, man. Maybe don't woo. It's not quite the wooing section. So there are people that, when they don't know what they're getting themselves into, think it's going to be... There was a point where I said, like, when I used to explain what each mic was for, and then Chappelle saw the show, and he was like, you know, it's more fun trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I used to say, like, Mike, this mic is not... It's not going to be Adam Devine's house party. It's funny, but it's not like a raucous, you know, beer guzzling party time. So shout out to Adam Devine. And so, yeah, so I think people figured it out. Like, you get used to, and what's interesting is by the end of the show, people want to hear the middle mic more than either of the other two.
Of course,
that's
yeah.
You really get a sense of who I am. Because you can't really, you know, in stand-up, you get a sense of, like, someone's spirit, kind of, but you don't really know what they're like. Like, you don't really know, like, what is Jim Jeffries really, what's Bill Burr really like? Like, what's, you know, Pryor is about the only one who would go more serious. And I'm sure you're wondering, Neil, are you actually comparing yourself to Richard Pryor? And I'm saying, I absolutely am. No, I'm kidding. No, but like everybody else, you just go like, my dad's deaf, and then you just talk about your dad, whatever. Like, you talk about the problem in a very, very surfacey, glib way,
right.
For the most part.
I mean, putting it on stage, it's got to help in the sense that people are really kind of looking at it more through a theatrical lens as opposed to the comedy club where you have to do, if you're going to talk about depressing things or your depression, it almost has to be in quote-unquote stand-up form.
Cannot be done at Up or the Laugh Factory or any of the clubs in Chicago or Zany's, like, because like part of the show is about alcoholism. So, like, I kind of, having people hammered is just not like cool. Like, they won't have fun, and I'll be bummed out if they're like sloppy. Mm-hmm. So, and that sort of goes against the sponsor's wishes at a comedy club.
Right.
Kind of not what they have to drink at a comedy club. I think in Chicago, the city has a 2-drink minimum, right?
I think as a city, yeah.
Yeah, like every day you have to have 2 drinks. So that's sort of the figuring out, like, that's why I didn't do it at a club and I did it in New York at a theater.
Neil Brennan is our guest tonight. He's a stand-up comedian. His show Three Mics is coming to Talia Hall on August 19th. You know, you've had a career in television as well with Chappelle's Show, obviously being the mm-hmm. co-creator and director of some of the episodes. And it's interesting because I read somewhere that, you know, you've had a lot of options to get back into television. You're a very sought-after producer
television. I'm calling you from The Daily Show right now.
Are you really?
I directed the first season of Schumer's Show. If I am friends with people, I will work with them. Before she was popular, she said, would you do the show? And I was like, we were friends. I was like, absolutely. Trevor has been started this show. He wanted me to work on it full time originally. And I was like, I'll 1 week a month. So I work on that I work on The Daily Show 1 week a month. I just started like last 3 weeks ago or something.
I mean, it's great. I mean, that's relationships, and that's awesome to have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
What keeps you from taking on another role, like a showrunner's role? Is it just the idea of time and energy that has to be put into something?
It takes a long – it's time. It's like – it becomes your life. You know, if you're the showrunner of a show, you're basically the Secretary of State, and it's very stressful. It's just – it's more stress than I like. My situation right now, The Daily Show is great because it's like I work 1 week a month. I have some ownership, and it's really fun, and I like everybody here. Everybody's really funny. And so that's fun, and there's just not as much pressure and not as much drag. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ugh, we have to do this again next week. And then the rest of the time I just do stand-up and direct commercials and write. You know, I'm writing, I think, and the other thing is I do it, I write a pilot every year for myself. They just never get picked up.
Really? I find that hard to believe. I mean, people are clamoring
if
for
you. If
you
think it's hard to believe, how do you think I feel? like they just, whatever, but I've done someone could have gotten picked up. They just, you know, I got to get more popular as a comedian before they like feel forced. So hopefully this Dahlia Hall, the Hall show, I think this is going to be the one.
Yeah. You obviously also involved in podcasts. I mean, The Champs was a great podcast that just wrapped up this year. You are very comfortable, and it seems to be an easy space for you, just talking about issues and being yourself in the space. You and Moshe Kasher are great at it. Talk about that podcast specifically, because even I was just listening today, just re-listening to the final episode about the fact that it's hard to get people to do other people's podcasts, but also it's a lot of white dudes talking to white dudes. And what The Champs would do is bring people of color on the show.
Like, most podcasts are it's white on white crime. it's just white people talking to the same white people. So the premise of The Champs was I would just book black dudes like that. It was almost exclusively black dudes, or at least not white people, not white women or men. So that we opened it up to Middle Eastern, Latino, and Asian. But the original premise was black dudes, largely because I have no one was talking to these guys. No one had their numbers, was the truth. Mark Maron and Rogan and these guys didn't have very many numbers. So I was friends with all these guys from just being around stand-up, and I would do black shows and stuff. So, and they were predisposed to trust me or like me because of Chappelle's show. So I just knew a lot of guys, and we were able to get guys to come on and be honest in a way that they weren't often. Questlove, who was like a Champs aficionado and was on the last episode, said it was like one of the only places black dudes could come and be emotional. Because like there is more of that in like the, but now there's something of a black podcast community, but when we started 5-6 years ago, there was none. So yeah, if you want to hear me talking to black dudes, download The Champs. It's on iTunes.
With doing The Daily Show once a month or 1 week a month and doing some other stuff, doing a show, three mics, do you see yourself having a future in podcasts, like launching some other stuff and continuing that career?
I have another idea for one. I literally just have to. The worst part about doing a podcast is you have to book people, and I have to ask my friends to, like, inconvenience themselves. So that's the drag of it. Like with The Champs, I found myself, I was directing a commercial, a Nike commercial, and like Richard Sherman was in it. And I was like, can you do my podcast? I just felt like a goofball. I'm like, hey, mister, I'm 40. Would you mind doing my podcast? I just felt like an idiot. There was a pride, not even pride, just like, I just didn't want to do it to them. Because they kind of could, some people couldn't pass. They just felt too awkward to pass, which is never, I just don't want to put people in that position. Hopefully, I have an idea. Hopefully, I can do it through somewhere where they can book people for me.
There you go. You need producers, right?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Neil Brennan.
I need a Neil Brennan.
No, you need a Neil Brennan. You do. You can find that guy. I heard he only works once 1 week a month.
I know. These Neil Brennans are lazy.
Neil Brennan's coming to the Talia Hall on August 19th. His show is Three Mics, the co-creator of Chappelle's Show and Comedy Central and stand-up comedian. Neil Brennan, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us tonight. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I had fun doing it.